Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning. We hope everybody is doing well out there. Right now, 84 degrees outside. Wow, it's already getting that warm, and it's only 9 o'clock this morning. Joining us in studio from the Montgomery County Emergency Management is the Management Director, Rick Whitson. Mr. Whitson, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning, and first of all, it's Thursday, not Friday. If it were Friday, I wouldn't be here.
I always say Friday Eve. I think I forgot the Eve part, but we're getting close to the weekend, and of course, this is the 4th of July weekend, so again, it's going to be a very fun weekend. And sir, I wanted to bring you in today, just to kind of ask you a few things, and I know one of them that you're expecting, I've already asked you about it. It was, of course, Governor Laura Kelly on Monday, she issued that everybody will be required to wear a mask. I know social media blew up, and I know you said your phone blew up because it's just like it was a you guys were blindsided pretty much for the most part, were you not? And you did not see that coming.
Oh, we did not see that coming. No, and as soon as she opened her mouth on that press conference, my phone started in. I wanted to throw it away. I thought I was going to catch fire.
So many calls coming in at the same time. And, of course, there was an emergency meeting yesterday on Wednesday. And as of right now, what is the recommendation by the county commission or by you to the county commission? Should we follow that, or is it going to be basically got to wait really until the executive order comes out?
Well, we realized early on in this crisis that it was going to be beyond anything the health department could shoulder on their own. So we partnered with them right away. So the health officer has the ultimate authority here. So I just work with her and support her. But yes, we got together and we tried to draft a press release. So this is something that people don't really understand is as a government agency or government entity, we're local government. So it is, in my opinion, unwise not to follow the direction of the leader of the state in which you are a government entity, a part of it. So what our press release ultimately says, the body of it is copied and pasted from the press release that was sent to me from KDEM, Kansas Division of Emergency Management. And then the part that we put in was, our position is that the governor recommends the wearing of masks at indoor and outdoor activities when social distancing cannot be maintained, is to summarize. And all we're saying is that she recommends this and we recommend that you listen to her. But it's important to understand that that enforcement is impossible at the local level. First of all, it's not a criminal offense to not wear your mask, so law enforcement couldn't do anything if they wanted to. It's a civil defense. Well, who's going to enforce a civil issue? And then are we going to have prosecution for it? I mean, it's very unlikely. So, and it's not possible anyway. Because there isn't sufficient law enforcement in the county to enforce it if we wanted to or if it were possible. It's not uncommon in the state of Kansas to have one law enforcement officer on the street per 1,000 citizens. So in Montgomery County, we're a little more fortunate most of the time to have probably 1 to 2 per 1,000 citizens. But as controversial as this entire crisis is, because the opinions are vastly opposing one another. Whatever one person's opinion is, and whatever research they think they have to support that opinion, I know someone that has the exact opposite opinion with the equal amount of research to support their opinion. So this is unlike any other crisis or disaster we've ever faced. People don't come together on this, they oppose. So how do you manage something where you're going to get criticism regardless of the decision you make? That's the difficult part we're all in. And as a commission, they try to do the right, and this is the other thing I've said many times, you know, when you say do the right thing, what's the right thing? The right thing is defined by the individual in this case, because there is no clear right thing. Whatever your decision is, there's going to be a certain sect of people that are not going to like it and think it's crazy and we should do this and this, and what are they thinking? So early on in this event, when COVID first got started, probably back in late February, early March, I had a meeting with all of the commissioners from all four cities in the county and all the city managers, and that was no easy task, believe me. But one of the things that we talked about in there, and what I told them was, is that you were going to have to develop thick skin, because regardless of whatever decision you made, it was going to be criticized. So I think everyone went into this understanding that, but it doesn't make it any easier, especially the longer that it goes on. And once you get a plan developed and you start to settle into what you think the course of action is best, and then you get the governor's press conference from Monday, and that changes everything that you've been doing up to that point. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for the people that are managing. It's frustrating for the decision makers who know that whatever decision they make, they're going to be criticized for. It's frustrating for the citizens, because then we put out our press releases that aren't clearly defined. I mean, what people want is, yes, you are going to have to wear a mask everywhere you go. That's it. It's going to be enforced. And or people want, no, you don't have to. Forget it. Disregard it. Well, you just can't take that position. It's not that simple. This is the most complicated and complex crisis that any of us have ever encountered in our lifetimes. Tornadoes, floods, anything like that, I mean, ice storms, wind storms, all of those kinds of crises and disasters, people come together. You know, they support one another. And you hear stories of kindness and charity, and, you know, you draw resources from all the unaffected areas. But this is not that way. There is no unaffected areas. People don't come together. They divide. So I think Montgomery County as a whole has done remarkably well. And I'm the regional vice president of the Kansas Emergency Managers Association, so the lower 16 counties in the southeast region. So when I talk with all of the other emergency managers in other areas of the state also, you know, I feel very fortunate in Montgomery County because of the support that the health department and emergency management gets. Yes, there's criticisms. There's always going to be. You can't take that personal. But overall, 95% of all of the comments that I get are in support. You know, so, and that's very uncommon. That's not a common theme across the state. You know, there are some people that are stressed out to the hilt. You know, I talk to emergency managers in all the other counties, Wyandotte County, Shawnee County. And a lot of them are very stressed out, you know, and yeah, it's stressful, but I'm thankful to be in Montgomery County. I mean, when I see the support that emergency management and health department gets here, I mean, I'm proud of our county. And the other thing that needs to be mentioned, when people see our numbers, we had 20 cases, and they accumulated over about a month's period. And then we went 35 days without another positive, which was also common in the region. It wasn't specific to us. Well, then we started getting more cases, and it seemed that it all happened right as we transitioned from phase three to phase out. So most people were telling us that it was a result of relaxing our restrictions because we went to phase out, but that really wasn't the case.
It's too early, correct? For the show symptoms, basically.
Well, sort of. It's most of the cases that we have now are a result of events that happened in phase three. You know, and so we could have a single gathering that infected 12, 13 people. You know, where one person positive came from another location and infected 12, 13 people in our county. So when you have something like that, the number of quarantines gets extensive. But the thing that I have constantly said and encouraged people to do is show respect. Just because someone's opinion isn't the same as yours doesn't mean theirs is invalid. When you see that we have 19 cases over a couple of week period, so one person may think that is crazy. I've gotten comments like this. Wow, that blows my mind. It's just spiking. And other people think, so? That's 19 cases out of 33,000 people. No big deal. Well, which opinion is valid and which isn't. They both are. They're both valid because this is how that person feels. So that neither one's right, neither one's wrong. They're both accurate. So just show respect for one another. Understand that there is no right or wrong, that this is very controversial. And just if you have an opinion, that's great. I've always tried to respect other people's opinions. Just don't attack one another. If they don't see things the same way you do, it's okay. That's what makes the world go round. I would love it if this crisis were everyone was like-minded. If there was clearly a right path, I would. This would be as easy as any other. But it isn't, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. So another problem is people want answers. And there are no answers. Nobody has the answers. You can go all the way up to the governor. She doesn't have the answers either. She's operating on the information that's provided to her. And she's making her best judgment based on that information. We all are. But is it right? I don't know. Is the information that we're getting right? I don't know that either. So it's a very difficult thing. We're probably going to keep getting more cases based on the contacts that the positives we've had have. So even that's complicated. So if one person tests positive, people don't understand the quarantine and the positives and negatives and the testing, and every single aspect to this crisis is complicated. The testing procedure, the results, the quarantine, the contacts, every bit of it is controversial. And, you know, the health department has 5 people that work at the health department. They were all busy before COVID came along. So it's not like they had people on the staff that sat around and didn't have anything to do. Nobody employs non-essential personnel anymore. So all 5 of these people were busy before, and now they're just buried. So, and they've been buried for months. Now, the county and my county commissioners are incredibly supportive, and they're proactive, and I am really thankful for my commission and for Charlotte Scott Smith, because they are supportive, and they've helped us, they've put us in the position to manage this before it ever happened. They gave me an assistant, which Lee Miller is my assistant emergency manager, and Lee has worked for the CDC. He's got law enforcement background. He was at 9/11 when that happened. So Lee is, I mean, he's a great support person, but my county commission and Charlotte put him in place last August. So we've been better prepared than most were anyway. So emergency management has gotten support because of our county commission. But the health department, it's not that easy because they have to have RNs, you know, and various other specialty talents. So I really want to encourage people to be respectful of the health department and understand that these people are putting in 12, 14-hour days, 7 days a week, and it never ends. The county health nurse, the county health officer, Carolyn Muller, Carolyn, I know she's, because I speak with her 3 or 4 times a day, 7 days a week, and she never gets a break. She's with her phone all the time. Every time there's a positive, she's contacted. She has to do the contact tracing. Contact tracing is something else. People, I'm trying to get a lot of information in here really fast.
Oh, no, so. You're fine.
I don't mean to ramble.
We have plenty of time. You have all the time that you need, sir.
I don't want to ramble, but it's like trying to summarize the encyclopedias in 10 minutes.
Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, you got 20, 30 minutes, whatever you need, sir. We obviously will give you plenty of time.
So the contact tracing, if one person comes back positive, so we get a positive result from whatever independent lab, the KDHE or wherever they sent their test off to, then how that works is the health department contacts that person. They immediately put them on quarantine as soon as they're tested until the results come back. But they contact that person and find out the onset of their symptoms because there was a reason they went and got tested. So they say, what was the onset of your symptoms? And you say, let's just assume it was you. And you say, well, I started having a dry cough and I woke up not feeling well on Wednesday. So what we do is go back 48 hours from that point, and now we say, okay, now you tell us everyone you were within 6 feet of for 10 or more minutes from that point forward, 48 hours before the onset of your symptoms. So now you give us this long list of names and people that you've been around. Now we have to contact every one of them. And we have to notify them that they were in contact of a positive case. Now they're all on quarantine. So then all the questions arise. Well, what about my wife? What about my friend? You know, so this is not CDC, KDHE's language. This is mine. But I've said that's a first degree contact. First degree contact is someone who was in direct contact 6 feet for 10 or more minutes of a positive case. Second degree would be whoever they were around. Third degree, whoever they were around. So the KDHE only recommends that you quarantine that first degree contact, first-hand contact.
And that they would need to be tested as well, correct?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
They're just quarantined. So they're quarantined for 14 days. So the other issue that arises, because let's just say it's an employer that has 6 employees, and one of them comes back positive and they were in contact with 3 others. So they obviously can't lose 4 of their 6 employees and still operate. So what they want to do is test all of those people on quarantine, and if they get a negative result, can they come back to work? Sounds logical, but it doesn't work that way. Because we've had people who tested negative, but were still on quarantine, and then were positive 10 days later. So there's a reason why there's this 14-day quarantine. It's an incubation period. We've actually had one that went 14, he served out the entire quarantine, was released from quarantine, and tested positive the next day. So if you're on quarantine, whether you get a positive or negative result, or whether you get a negative result on quarantine, you still have to serve out the 14 days. So it's a difficult thing. It's wise to err on the side of caution, because if you can quarantine one person and prevent losing 4 others in your place of employment, then it's a prudent decision. So it's going to go on. We're going to have more. You know, anytime you have one positive and they give you a list of 40 people they were in contact with, you can expect you're going to have a couple more of those come positive. So it's going to go on, but just understand, look at the numbers, keep it in perspective, don't panic, don't criticize others. The mask policy that the governor came out with, I don't know what the details of her executive order are going to say today. I can speculate, but that would be useless. However, you know, the county does recommend that you wear a mask. That's it. It's a recommendation. It's all we can do. So we can use whatever terminology we want. We can say we mandate. We can say we dictate. But there's no enforcement, so that is not possible. So it doesn't serve us any purpose to use language that we can't enforce. So it's difficult, I understand. I understand that the press release that the commissioners approved yesterday, if you scan through it, it was hard to put it together. If you scanned it, you have to actually read it. So I know I just rambled and gave you a lot real fast.
Oh, no, you're fine.
We may need to revisit some of these as time goes on.
Absolutely, we can. You are welcome to come in anytime you want to. And another thing that we were discussing real quick before we head on off, I was asking, I said, do you think testing, positives may be going up because of more testing? And as you said, you're saying it's like we really haven't done more testing. We've been testing people. It's just there really hasn't been a difference in the testing, correct?
Well, I can't tell you that I have seen all the specific numbers related to testing. But what I do know for certain is that from the very beginning, the first time COVID reared its ugly head, we have tested everyone in Montgomery County that needed tested, meaning that the KDHE's criteria initially was you had to have 2 or more symptoms. They've since relaxed that. You don't have to have a fever now. And what I know from all the providers and healthcare systems in the county is it doesn't take anything really to get tested. It's not like they're turning people away. If you come in and say, I just want tested just to be tested, then they're not going to test you. And people don't really seem to understand that either. But the labs are inundated with these tests, and the turnaround time is crucial. So if we test everyone in the county and send in 33,000 tests to these labs, are going to be inundated, which will delay the few positives that we would need the results back quickly. We don't want that. So if you go to your provider and you have a cough, a fever, haven't felt well, nausea, lack of taste, any of these symptoms, they're going to test you. And we have always done that. And that's one thing that I've heard the most of is Montgomery County's not testing. We're not testing. Yes, we are testing. We're testing everyone that needs tested. And there are limited resources. We don't have a staff of 100 people at the health department. And all of the healthcare systems and the providers, they are still dealing with all of the different illnesses and diseases and injuries that they were before. And all of the staff that they keep employed in their offices are essential. I told you, no one employs someone just to sit around and wait for something to happen, except an ER. So even there, I mean, yes, they're making time. They're putting the overtime. No one is turning anyone away. Now, I've got reports that such and such, and you know, my friend went here and they wouldn't test her. And every one of those reports, I can promise you, I have submitted up to the CEO of that healthcare system to investigate. So I can't tell you it's never happened. I can tell you that in general, as a whole, the county is testing everyone that needs tested. And I would bet there's a 99.9% rate
that people are able to get tested if they need to be. So, you
know, and I'm not encouraging anyone just to go get tested just because.
Right.
It's really not necessary.
Make sure you have the symptoms because it's obviously if you're asymptomatic, you have no clue that you have it. And it's from what I've heard is there was like some people that were asymptomatic that were negative, like you were saying, and then like it turned around week later, all of a sudden they're positive, you know, and it's like, what happens? It's pretty interesting for sure. It's a very different thing. Like you said, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime.
Every aspect of it is complicated from the simplest thing, you know, and there's so much information out there. It's an ocean of information. It's coming at you faster than you can keep up with it. So it, you know, people see this basket load of statistics and they pull out two, you know, and whatever this entity is shows you these two statistics and it scares people. But what about the other side? That's why I've always said, put it in perspective. You know, don't just believe the one thing that's put in front of your face. Look past it. Put it in perspective. Think through it. Because it is complicated. And there is a mass of information out there. I mean, when I talk about the controversy and the massive information, I'll give you a good example. I spoke with an epidemiologist in Los Angeles, and he was an epidemiologist for 35 years. That's all he'd ever done. Now, any reasonable, logical, rational thinking person would assume that whatever this guy told you, you could take to the bank. And he told me that COVID was very dangerous, that we needed to mask up, we need to do all these precautions. And I mean, he was really stringent and restrictive on what how he thought we should approach it. But literally a week later, I spoke to an epidemiologist in Kansas City who had done it for 30 years, all he had ever done. And he was just the opposite. He said that it was no worse than the flu, that masks were unnecessary, they didn't actually help, and he had just the opposite. So who do you believe?
Right.
I don't know. That's the problem.
You even got the experts that are on opposite ends of the spectrum here, you know. It can be confusing, that's for sure, because I mean, like you said, the one guy out in L.A. says, oh, this is the worst thing ever. Then you got the guy in Kansas City says, well, this is no worse than the flu. I mean, who do you believe when you basically got experts on opposite ends of the spectrum there?
So were they both right? Were they both wrong? I don't know. Maybe they were both right. My point is, respect other people's opinions. Don't attack someone because you think everyone should never leave their house without a mask on, and this person thinks that it's unnecessary. And you don't know what's going on in that person's life. Maybe they're not wearing a mask because they have emphysema, COPD, they're claustrophobic. I don't know. And neither do you. And that's my whole point, is don't judge others. Do what's right for you. If you feel like you need to go mask wherever you go, then wear it. I will never criticize anyone for that. If you don't, you just don't know why they're not. So just leave other people alone. Do what's right for you. No one can dictate what the general population does right now. The governor can't. The president can't. Unless you see the army rolling through the streets pointing guns at you to put your mask on. Nobody.
That'd be frightening.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't come to
that. Yeah, let's hope it doesn't. That would be absolutely frightening at that point. Because they're not like 10 masks on at that point.
But you know, it's not an enforceable thing. Wearing a mask is not an enforceable thing. Just do what's right for you. Be respectful of others' opinions. You know, and let's try to come together as best we can.
Absolutely.
And understand that everyone is going through a difficult time right now. When this thing first started, one of the other things I mentioned in that early meeting with leadership was that we were responding to two different crises at the same time. One was the virus and one was the economy. Now, in the early stages of this, through the first couple of months, the virus was our most critical crisis. So our resources, our attention, and everything we were doing was geared at the virus. But as time went on, that steadily shifted over to the economy because the virus had stopped. We went 35 days without a positive. Now our most important thing was getting businesses open back up, getting the economy rolling again. We didn't want local businesses to close down. So we started shifting our resources and things towards that. Well, now we're back at that impasse. Which one's the most important crisis to manage? And none of us know the answer to that. So the governor's chief attorney told me on a phone call one day, he said that we are all building the bicycle as we ride it. And I thought that was the best analogy.
That's
that
the best response ever.
Yeah. We're all riding a bicycle and trying to build it.
Right. At the same time, that's the best analogy ever. And we're talking to Rick Whitson, the director of the emergency management of Montgomery County, talking about lots of different things concerning COVID-19. And of course, the executive order comes out later today, which I'm sure your phone is going to blow up after that hits as well as like your phone did on Monday. And obviously you can't, you know what's going on in the governor's head, but I mean, is there anything that maybe you're thinking maybe in this executive order, or is it just going to be saying, hey, people are required to wear masks and maybe have some parts of it where unless, you know, in there?
Well, in the press release that we received from Monday, you know, is a pretty clear indication of the direction she's going to go in. And I would say that the theme is probably going to center around social distancing. Because the terminology she used is indoor and outdoor whenever social distancing cannot be maintained. So whenever those instances are, you know, and social distancing is also, see, even that very phrase is controversial and complicated, because some view that as within 6 feet of another person for any length of time. But according to the CDC, it's within 6 feet for 10 or more minutes. So, you know, we get this often. Well, what about Walmart? Well, are you within 6 feet of anyone for 10 minutes when you're in Walmart? You pass by them, typically. So, you know, I could go on and on about that. You know, there is no right answer. Nobody really knows. You know, each independent business has to make the decision for themselves. What are you going to mandate? And the people have a right to go in somewhere or not go in somewhere. They have a right to wear a mask, not wear a mask. They have a right to distance or not distance. So no one's dictating anything, except a local business has the right to employ whatever policy they choose. If they say that in our facility masks are mandatory, then they're mandatory in that facility. They have that right. So just be understanding. You know, if I can leave you with any single thought, it's just show respect, understand that you don't know what's going on in another person's life or in their mind. There is no clearly right answer to any of these questions. Nobody has it. Believe me, I've been looking for 4 months. And if I found a clearly right answer, I would love it. But as of yet, everything is ambiguous. Determined by the individual.
Exactly. That's very, very true. Well, Mr. Whitson, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, basically kind of laying everything out there. And if anybody has missed any part of this interview, we'll have it up on our website in a little bit. But again, Mr. Whitson, I appreciate you coming on today and spending some time with us, because I know you've been very busy and got to get back up there and get to it again. And that EO is coming out today, so we'll see what's on it today.
I apologize for speed talking.
No, you're fine.
I had a lot I wanted to get out in a short time.
No, you're fine. But again, I appreciate you coming on today, sir.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to Open Line here in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.